Well, good evening. Time, choice, loyalties, and life. That's the title I give to the message this evening. And you say, whoa, 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 wait a minute. That's not what you said last night. But we'll get there. We'll get there. We were in Grenada for almost 15 months and during that first 15 months, three of our friends stepped from time into eternity. One of those men ran a rum shop right across the street from us, and we could be 2 o'clock in the morning, and we lived in a block house made of concrete blocks. And our bedroom was on the back end of the house. And at 2 o'clock in the morning, we could feel our chest thumping, our stomach thumping because of the music that was going on across the street. And I began to pray. I began to pray that the Lord would shut that place down. And it wasn't long till the man running that shop went to the hospital. And the pastor, I was assisting at that point. The pastor and I went to the hospital to visit him. His name was Carl. And we went to share with him about the Lord and about salvation and his need for that. And he said, when I get out of here, I need to make some changes. And my thought was, Carl, I'm not sure you're going to get out of here, at least not alive. It wasn't long till Carl died. The shop was shut down. I said, Lord, that's not what I had in mind. They stepped from time into eternity. Their ages ranged from the mid-50s to the mid-60s. Not all that old. To me, quite a few years ago, that would have seemed old, but that don't seem very old anymore. And we had also, during that same time, lost three friends in Oregon to eternity. Their ages were 77, 66, and 65. All three of those were through traffic accidents. There is an appointment that each one of us has to which we will be sure to make our appearance. And none of us will be late. Each of us will not only be there, but we will each be on time. The appointment I'm talking about is the appointment to which my six friends appeared, namely that appointment with God to which we will all be called. None of us knows the day nor the hour, nor even necessarily the season of life when we will be given the summons to appear. None of my six friends knew, though I believe some had evidence that it was near. Some had mere seconds to recognize the call, if they recognized it at all. But each one was there at their appointed time. And so will each of us. We'll be there at our appointed time. Therefore, we would do well to be always ready. Time, choice, loyalties, and life. I would like for us to first consider time. It's wise use. What am I doing with it? Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 15 to 17. It says, see then that ye walk circumspectly. That means carefully. Not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Time, it's wise use. What am I doing with it? Am I redeeming it? Number two, choice. Consider choices that we make and the importance of wise ones. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Verses 9 to the first part of 11. Wherefore we labor that whether present or absent, if we consider verse 8, we are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Wherefore, we labor that whether present in the body or absent, we may be accepted of him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. That's the great white throne judgment, which every person that has ever lived is going to stand before God and hear what God has to say about their life. Knowing, therefore, the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. Thirdly is loyalties. The imperative of proper placement of loyalties in our lives. Matthew chapter 22. Matthew chapter 22, beginning at verse 16, but notice when we get especially to verse 21. Matthew 22, 16. And they sent out unto him their disciples with the Herodians, saying, Master, we know that thou art true and teachest the way of God in truth, neither carest for any man, for thou regardest not the person of men. So they were trying to flatter the Lord Jesus. Tell us, therefore, what thinkest thou? Is it lawful to give tribute unto Caesar or not? But Jesus perceived their wickedness and said, Why tempt ye me, ye hypocrites? Show me the tribute money. And they brought unto him a penny. And he said unto them, Whose is this image and superscription? They say unto him, Caesar's. Then saith he unto them, Render therefore to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God's. When they had heard these words, they marveled. They weren't expecting an answer like that. And they left him and went their way. Where are our loyalties? Are they with Caesar or are they with God? Do we live more in the natural realm or do we live more in the spiritual realm? Where are our loyalties? Who do we belong to? Render therefore to Caesar the things that are Caesar's and to God the things that are God's. So, God has given us, number one, time. Time for the spending of which each of us will give an account. Secondly, God has given us the privilege and the responsibility of choice. I think we will also give account for the choices that we make. Thirdly, the privilege of loyalties. That's a privilege, and God has given us that privilege. No one can take it from us. And fourthly, God has given us life. Time, choice, loyalties, and life. Time and choice will dictate your loyalties. And at the end, time, choice, and loyalties will have dictated your life. Now, the alternate title of the message, You're Losing Your Marbles. But we'll get to that after a bit. This past year, think about the past year of your life. Where have you been? And I'm talking spiritually, in relationship with God. Where have you been? What and where has been your journey? All of us are on a spiritual journey. And that journey is not static. The journey is not static. It's kind of like Grenada. Either you're going uphill or you're going down. From where in the past year have you come? Spiritually, in your relationship with God. And thinking about those two things, the next question is, to where have you come? Again, you're in that journey. And that's not to a location, but it's to a level of spirituality, a level of relationship with God. And then the next question that follows is, how did you get there? As you consider that last year and where you started and where you're at now and the different places spiritually, where have you been? How did you get to where you are now? What has been the steps that you have taken? None of us is at the same place that we began in a year ago. We're not there anymore. Nor will we end another year in the same place either. We're traveling either upwards or we're descending. We're going forwards or we're in retreat. We're either growing in our relationship with the Lord or we're backsliding. Again, from where have you come to where are you going? All this with regard to your relationship with God. You see, the scripture says, 1 Corinthians 15:51-54, that time will give way to eternity. We find in Genesis chapter 1 that time was created. We find in Matthew 4 and 1 Peter chapter 4, 2 Peter chapter 3, time is coming to an end. Time was created by God, and time will be ended by God. Time. Time. What's that? In time, I am in the middle of it. I'm in the midst of it. And me is at its end. Both I and me, follow after the crossroads of its beginning. There are choices from the beginning. They grow in number, they grow in intensity, they grow in consequence and importance with our years. I immediately follows the crossroads of its beginning, and all of it gives me of itself. For time offers much to everyone. I becomes very important to me very shortly after its beginning. You see, I am in the midst of it. Where I arrive at its end is determined by which of the roads I follow that I am offered during its tenure. Now, we have in the Bible a phrase, the fullness of time. And that's reaching a predetermined point in which a predetermined action or accomplishment or condition is affected. Galatians chapter 4 and verse 4. But when the fullness of time was come, God sent his Son. It wasn't before that. It wasn't after that. It was right on time, in the fullness of time. I'd like to read, starting at verse 1. Now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, differeth nothing from a servant, though he be Lord of all. But he is under the tutors and governors until the time appointed of his father. Even so we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world. But when the fullness of time was come, God sent his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And so then we become a son. We become an heir. And because you are sons, God hath sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father, or Daddy, Father. Wherefore, thou art no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 10. That in the dispensation of the fullness of times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him. that in the dispensation of time, of the fullness of times, what it sounds like it's referring to something. What's it referring to? Well, let's back up. Verse 5, verse 4, verse 3. That's the beginning of the sentence. Paul wrote some long sentences. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. God has chosen every last person to be according to this description. Having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. You see, it's those who make that choice in life to become one of his children that this description is accomplished in their life. To the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved, to whom, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace, wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence. And then, having made known unto us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself. It wasn't for us. It wasn't because of us. It was because of himself and the character that he is. That in the dispensation of the fullness of times, he might gather together in one all things, all people in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him. Now, in that verse, there is a word that we don't hardly ever use, and it's dispensation. And so what does that mean in the dispensation of the fullness of times? Dispensation, a distinctive arrangement or period in history that forms the framework through which God relates to mankind. You see, in the fullness of time, there was a framework in which God was working, and when the time was right, he sent his son. But it took another 30 years before that son began a public ministry. But he came in the fullness of time. If he wouldn't have come then, those people that he worked with wouldn't have been there. God knew who was going to be where and when they were going to be there. And in the fullness of time, he sent his son so he would be in that group. And so he would accomplish that which he sent him to accomplish. So we have the beginning of time, we have the fullness of time, we also have the end of time. There will be a termination of both personal time. That happened to those six people that I was telling you about. There was a termination of their life. And at the termination of their life, that was the termination of their time. That was the termination of their time. Job 26 and verse 10 says, until the day, this is the words of Job, until the day and night come to an end. He recognized there was going to be an end of time. End of time itself. And there's an end of personal time. Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 27 says, it's appointed unto men once to die. And these six people that I told you about made their appointment. Time, as God is able to view it, is different than us. The Bible says, declaring the, and talking about God and his view of time and things, it says, declaring the end from the beginning, Isaiah 46, verses 9 to 11. God, when he speaks in his word, sometimes it sounds like it's already done. But we recognize that it hasn't happened yet. But you see, God can talk like that because he knows how it's going to happen. He knows exactly how it's going to happen. He can tell us, and he does tell us some of these things, how it's going to happen at the end, even before it's begun. It's called prophecy. God doesn't see time as we see it. 2 Peter 3:8, one day with the Lord is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. It even gets better than that. Psalm 90 and verse 4 says that 1,000 years in the sight of God is as a watch in the night. You know what that is? They had four watches in one night. A watch in the night is 3 hours. His view of time is not as we view or experience it. Daniel 2:21 says, "He changeth the times and the seasons." God is able to view it like this because He's greater than time. In fact, He is its creator as well as its controller, Acts 1 and verse 7. Says, "He hangeth the earth on nothing," in Job 26 and verse 7. He controls the heavens relating to time. Consider the U.S. space program. It's operated very precisely by time. They can send up a rocket into space and it'll orbit the earth. And it might go to the moon or whatever, wherever they send it. And if it's coming back, they bring it back to the earth, and it has to be timed exactly, and it has to be aimed exactly, or it comes in too fast and burns up, or it comes in too much of a glance and just goes off out into space and we never see it again. How would you like a ride like that? But they operate on specific seconds to accomplish their aim. Why can they do that? It's because God is in control of time, and He's in control of all those objects out there in space. He's in control of this earth on which we live. He's in control of the spinning of the earth and the revolution of the earth around the sun. And if He didn't have that set in a precise way like He does, they could never do what they're doing. He isn't controlled by time. He created it. And it's controlled by Him, rather. The fullness of time, the end of time. This indicates, as we have seen from all history, that each of us has, number one, a beginning in time, which we have everyone experienced. And there's also, each of us has an ending of time. And as I look out over this congregation, I can see that none of us has ever experienced that personally. Having a beginning and an ending, then, tells us we each, as the possessors of a span of time, for which each individual will be accountable to God. Notice I said we are possessors of time, not the owners of time. And we are accountable to God for the way we use our time because He is the owner of time. Again, Ephesians 5. 15:16, "See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil." Each individual is ignorant of the duration of that span. Ecclesiastes 9:12 tells us that man knoweth not his time. I'd like to read that one. "For man also knoweth not his time, as the fishes that are taken in an evil net, and as the birds that are caught in the snare, so are the sons of men snared in an evil time when it falleth suddenly on them." Several of these people that I talked to you about in the beginning of this message, that's the way it happened to them. They were taken in seconds that they didn't know was coming. And if they weren't prepared, there wasn't time to prepare. Man knows not when his last will be, and he is called to stand before the judge of all the earth. Each individual's time is short. I remember talking to a lady in Delaware. She was 103 years old. 103 or 106? It doesn't matter. What's 3 years once you're 100? She was basically bedridden, and she loved the Lord. You could tell that she loved the Lord, but one of her comments when we were there visiting her, she said, "I think the Lord forgot about me." But it wasn't her time. She still had some time. Psalm 90 and verse 10 says, "The days of our years are 70 years and 10. That's 70 years. You need to remember that in relation to the title. Psalm 144, verse 4. His days, man's days, are as a shadow that passeth away. Psalm 103, verse 15. As for man, his days are as grass. As a flower of the field, so he flourisheth. 16. For the wind passeth over it, and it is gone. James 4:14. For what is your life? It is but a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. And as I read that verse, my mind goes to somebody in the kitchen cooking something over the stove. Whatever's being heated, it gets hot, and what happens? There's a steam that comes out of that kettle. It says, it appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. That's what happens to that steam. It rises from that kettle, and about the time it gets up here, it's gone. Where did it go? It disappeared. Let me tell you another story. And I hope I don't knock this down. I'll leave it up there. The story of a thousand marbles. This is an article. Let me back up. The story of a thousand marbles. Sometimes one gets the inspiration for the subject of a sermon from a most unusual source. This message is one of those. I got it from the local newspaper from August 5 in the year 2000. The story of a thousand marbles. Now, I don't have a thousand marbles, but you'll understand after a bit. The older I get, the more I enjoy Saturday mornings. A few weeks ago, I was shuffling toward the basement with a steaming cup of coffee in one hand and the morning paper in the other, kind of a normal routine. What began as a typical Saturday morning turned into one of those lessons that life seems to hand you from time to time. Let me tell you about it. I turned the dial up on my ham radio in order to listen to a Saturday morning swap net. Along the way, I came across an older sounding chap with a tremendous signal and a golden voice. You know the kind. He sounded like he should be in the broadcasting business. He was telling whomever he was talking with something about a thousand marbles. I was intrigued and I stopped to listen. This is what he had to say. Well, Tom, it sure sounds like you're busy with your job. I'm sure they pay you well, but it's a shame you have to be away from home and your family so much. Hard to believe a young fellow should have to work 60 or 70 hours a week to make ends meet. Too bad you missed your daughter's recital. He continued, let me tell you something, Tom. Something that has helped me keep a good perspective on my own priorities. And that's when he began to explain his theory of a thousand marbles. You see, I sat down one day and did a little arithmetic. The average person lives about 75 years. Now, the Bible says your years are 70 years, that's 70 years, or 80 years, that's 80 years. The average person lives about 75 years. That's right in the middle. I know some live more and some live less, but on the average, folks live about 75 years. Now then, I multiplied 75 times 52 and I came up with 3,900, which is the number of Saturdays that the average person has in their entire lifetime. Now stick with me, Tom. I'm getting to the important part. It took me until I was 55 years old to think about all this in any detail. He went on, and by that time I had lived through over 2,800 Saturdays. I got to thinking that if I lived to be 75, I only had about 1,000 of them left to enjoy. So I went to a toy store and bought every single marble they had. I ended up having to visit 3 toy stores to round up 1,000 marbles. I took them home and put them inside a large clear plastic container right here in the shack next to my gear. Every Saturday since then, I have taken wrong jar. Taken one marble. Okay, I've taken one marble out and thrown it away. What you see here is an illustration of my life. Now, when I did this before, I had 3,900 marbles. And so it was different. It looked different. And I was younger. This was 24 years ago. 24 times 52 is quite a few marbles. I've lost a lot of marbles since that time. But these represent, each one of these marbles represents 10 Saturdays of my life. These are the marbles that are spent. These are the marbles that I have left if I live to 75 years. I'm not guaranteed that. I found that by watching the marbles diminish, I focused more on the really important things in life. There's nothing like watching your time here on this earth run out to help you get your priorities straight. Now let me tell you one last thing before I sign off with you and take my lovely wife out for breakfast. This morning, I took the very last marble out of the container. I figure if I make it until next Saturday, then I've been given a little extra time. And the one thing we can all use is a little more time. It was nice to meet you, Tom. I hope you spend more time with your family, and I hope to meet you again here on the band. Oh man, this is K9NZQ, clear, and going QRT. Good morning. That means this, he gave his radio number, and going QRT, I'm going off the band. Good morning. You could have heard a pin drop on the band when this fellow signed off. I guess he gave us a lot to think about. I had planned to work on the antenna that morning, and when I was going to go meet up with a few hams to work on the next club newsletter. Instead, I went upstairs, woke my wife up with a kiss. Come on, honey, I'm taking you and the kids to breakfast. What brought this on? She asked with a smile. Oh, nothing special. It's just been a long time since we spent a Saturday together with the kids. Hey, can we stop at a toy store while we're out? I need to buy some marbles. Time has continued for 2,000 years and more since the birth of Christ. He said he's coming back. The angels said he's coming back. The apostles taught his return, and he has commanded us to consider and to teach it. Question, are you ready for that day? Psalm 100. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people, and the sheep of his pasture. Let us come before his presence with singing. No, enter into his gates with thanksgiving, and make a joyful noise. Be thankful. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him, and bless his name. For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations. Question, can you make that joyful noise? Are you serving the Lord with gladness? Are you entering into his courts with praise, with thanksgiving, experiencing his goodness? Can you make a joyful noise regarding his coming again? I hope you can, because I'm going to tell you something. If right now you can't make a joyful noise about his return, when he comes back, if he would come back at this moment, you will be filled with abject terror. 'Twas the night before Jesus came. Author unknown. 'Twas the night before Jesus came, and all through the house, not a creature was praying, not one in the house. Their Bibles were laying all on the shelf without care, in hopes that Jesus would not come there. The children were dressing to crawl into bed, not once ever kneeling or bowing a head. And Mom in her rocker with baby on her lap was watching the late show while I took a nap. When out of the east there arose such a clatter, I sprang to my feet to see what was the matter. Away to the window I flew like a flash, tore open the shutters, and threw up the sash. When what to my wondering eyes should appear but the angels proclaiming that Jesus was here. With a light like the sun sending forth a bright ray, I knew in a moment this must be the day. The light of his face made me cover my head. It was Jesus returning, just like he said. And though I possessed worldly wisdom and wealth, I cried when I saw him, in spite of myself. In the book of life, which he held in his hand, was written the name of every saved man. He spoke not a word as he searched for my name when he said, "It's not here." My head hung in shame. The people whose names had been written with love, he gathered to take to his Father above. With those who were ready, he rose with no sound, while all the rest were left standing around. I fell to my knees, but it was too late. I had waited too long and thus sealed my fate. I stood and I cried as they rose out of sight. Oh, if only I had been ready tonight. In the words of this poem, the meaning is clear. The coming of Jesus is drawing near. There's only one life, and when comes the last call, we'll find that the Bible was true after all. Where are you tonight? Where are you in relation to this? Most of you have more in this jar and less in this jar than what I do. Some are like this. Now what? And like the poem said, I wish I had been ready, but I found it too late. And we are going to find that the Bible is true after all. Are you ready? Let's stand. If you're thinking about it, if you're not sure, we'll invite you to come and we can help you to come to a place to be sure whether you're ready or not. And we can help you to get ready because we have this word, and this word tells us how to do that. And the Bible is true, after all. If you've made that decision and you just need some assurance, we can help you with that. Because again, the Bible gives information about assurance with God. Do we have a song leader? Just sound. If you want to settle that tonight, I invite you to come. At this point, we all have time, but we have no guarantee of any more. The roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. called up yonder, I'll be there. When the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. When the roll is called up yonder. When the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. Another one. From the dawn till setting sun, let us talk about his love and care. Then when all of life is over and our work on earth is done, the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. When the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. When the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. When the roll is called up yonder. When the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. I'm going to leave these marbles here. Any of you who would like to take some as a reminder of the brevity of life and of the life to come, you're welcome to come take some. Brother Todd.
I just have this sense tonight that we're not quite done. I feel like there are those here tonight who need to respond. Maybe you have, like we said, where you are, that's fine, but put some concrete around it. Let's take just a moment, a couple moments here yet to pray. Dear God, precious Holy Spirit, would you do what you are so good at? Would you convince and convict of sin and of righteousness and of judgment? Would you show us the Savior? Would you show us the Redeemer? Would you show us the truth about who you are and about who we are and what we need? And if there be someone here tonight, Lord, yet as we sing one more verse of song that needs to solidify a decision, that needs to get right with God, that needs to rededicate their lives, that needs to confess their sins, that need to confess the name of Jesus Christ, maybe for the first time and maybe for the last time. As God is speaking to our hearts tonight, I'd like for us just to sing yet that song, Spirit of the Living God, fall afresh on me. And this is going to be the final call tonight. If God has spoken to you, and you need to pray with someone tonight, you need to make this public while you come. This is a safe place. This is a good place. It doesn't get any safer. It doesn't get any more holy than this moment right now. So let's sing. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me. Melt me, mold me,
what it's like to be where you're at and not have made things right with the Lord. And I know what it's like to have fear in my heart to come forward at a time like this. But I would plead with you, if you need to come, come. Because if you don't and you run out of time, it's going to be a lot scarier than this. Now is the time that Jesus says, come. And you're with people who love you and people who care and people who are glad if you will make this decision. So we urge you, if God is working in your heart this evening and calling you, come.
We're going to go ahead and close the meeting tonight, but if you would like to pray with one of us, pastors, you're welcome to. If you'd like to pray with Brother Arlen, Sister Sharon, you're welcome to. Just shake our hands and say, can we have a little time to pray together? Invitation's always open until death do us part. God bless you. Thank you for coming tonight for the week. God bless you, Arlen and Sharon. Thank you for your presence and ministry among us. And don't make yourself strangers, even though it's a long ways back here. Now to him who is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the throne of his glory with exceeding great joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, be dominion and power both now and forever. In Jesus' name, amen.